Hello and welcome to the Pray Center Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information, visit PrayCenterOnline.com.
Good to see you all. We are really glad that you're here. This is a fun Sunday for us. Open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 17, the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. Today is a launch of a new season of life and growth and power for Praise Center. We really believe that. And we're starting a new series of messages that will go through our fall season called Family Matters. Somebody asked, isn't there a TV show? Yeah, there was, but I'm just stealing that name, so it's okay. But family does matter, and we want to talk about that. There's two primary ways we want to address this over the weeks to come, and that is we see that we want to see that, and we want to enable and help each individual family to be the very best it can be. And whatever that looks like, you know, we want to help families share with whatever we can in terms of help, and praying for people, and all that. But we also want to emphasize, the second thing we want to emphasize, is the church family. Because how many know we are a family all together? And that's a beautiful thing, too. And whatever, you know, the beauty of the family of God is whatever lack might be out there, and I have personally had this happen in my life when I was a young man, but whatever lack there may be in the nuclear family, that we see that the church family can fill in some of those gaps. Isn't that a beautiful thing? How many have been just blessed by the family of God, the church of God? It's a good thing. Amen. Yeah, go ahead. So that's what this series is about. And we want to, again, welcome everybody who's a guest here today. We're praying that if you don't already have a church home, that you would feel great to come and be a part of this family with us. We're glad you're here. Title of my talk today is Surrender to Love. Surrender to Love. The very night that Jesus was betrayed by the kiss of Judas, the night he was praying in the garden, or before that happened, he was having a meal with his disciples, and he was, after that meal, he spent some time praying with them and for them. And a lot of his prayer is recorded in John's Gospel. We're going to pick it up kind of in the middle of it in John chapter 17, and we'll start with verses 1 through 5, and then we'll skip down to verses 20 through 26. Starting in John 17, 1, it says, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. Watch this first word. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I want you to take note of that first section there that we've just read, and notice that Jesus prays for the protection of his disciples, and he prays that they'll be in joy and that they'll have unity. This theme is very, very rich throughout there. Then a little further along, skipping down to verse 20, Jesus shifts his prayer from his disciples. Now he starts to pray for another group of people. Starting in verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Point to yourself and say, that's me. Yeah, if you believe in Jesus, that's who he's praying for. Jesus was praying 2,000 years ago for you in this moment today. And he says, again, I pray for those who believe in me through their message. Verse 21, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. That they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made them you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. He's describing right there what it means to believe in Jesus Christ, to become, a term we might use is to say become a believer, become a Christian, that we are in Christ, Christ is in us. That's what the gospel is all about. The good news is that God, who came in flesh, would now be able to live inside us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the love that you showed through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blessings that are ours. And thank you for this message today that comes from your word. I pray that you would just speak to each and every heart that's here. Bless us all, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So almost exactly 17 years ago, about 5 months after we started this church, we moved from our home. So we actually started the church in the Wenatchee Valley, but we still lived in Ellensburg during that first season because we hadn't been able to sell our house. And so that was kind of a tough time for us. But eventually we were able to sell our house, and just about this time of year we moved here to the Wenatchee Valley. And we moved from Ellensburg, and we were excited to now be living in the community that we felt God had called us to, and we were beginning to grow in love with the people that God was beginning to bring to Praise Center. And it was an exciting time for us. But as exciting as that adventure was for us, I got to tell you that moving day was kind of tough. You know, have you ever, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Like, you get there and you realize, man, we got a lot of memories here. And sure enough, we stood in the last week of August in the year 2000, we stood in our now empty house as all the furniture and everything was out in the U-Haul truck and in my truck. And we got everything as loaded up as we could get it. We had a bunch of help that day. It was a great day. But, and the kids, our three boys that were 12, 10, and 5 at the time were playing out in the back yard and having one last go at our dirt pile out there and enjoying that. And so Ron and I were just making that last sweep through the house, looking around, and I don't know, I think Rhonda was first, but she kind of went to the one bedroom. It was the smallest room. It was a really tiny little bedroom. The house was tiny when we moved into it, only 962 square feet dripping wet. I mean, it was tiny, okay? And there were three bedrooms in that small of a house, believe it or not. So there was this tiny little room that we had brought all three of our children home from the hospital, and that was their nursery. That was their bedroom, the very first room. The wall, we had only bought the house 3 months before our firstborn was to come into the world, and so none of the rest of the house was fixed up, to be honest with you. We were pretty much scraping the bottom of the barrel just to buy the house, and money wasn't real, but we made extra sure that we did what we could to fix up that room. That makes sense? We put new fresh paint on the wall. We got some new mini blinds. We put new carpet on the floor. I mean, everything was new in that room. And we took an old pine dresser, remember this? And we sanded it all down. It had all been painted ugly. We took all that off of there, and we sanded it down and stained it and clear-coated it. And then I built, out of some wood, I built a little top for it that we could make a changing table. And we got a new little mat. Everything was new in the room. We brought in a crib. We had everything that a new set of parents would want for their new baby. It was an exciting time for us, and we did this in anticipation of the new arrival that was coming. Now fast forward now to the moment I was talking about in the year 2000, almost exactly 14 years from the time we had first moved to Ellensburg, and we stood in that empty house. We stood at that doorway, and Ron and I standing there, and she's standing in the doorway, and I kind of got up beside her and put my arm around her, and we're just looking in this room. That little room with the blue paint and the carpet on the floor, empty now. I looked at her. I saw tears in her eyes. I started having tears in my eyes. It was a really weird moment for us. We just kind of sat there, and we didn't really have much to say. We just embraced each other and said, wow, this is it. It was hard to leave. I mean, all those memories and our kids, that was their house. But you know, there were tears of sadness leaving behind those memories, but there were also tears of joy over the three sons that we had brought up in that house, and the hope of the life that was ahead of us. And I got to say, you know, some of you are old friends of ours, some of you are brand new today, but we have had a blast with Praise Center over the years. We have had just a wonderful time. It was God called us here. It was the right decision. And I'm so grateful to God that he brought us to this community. As much as we loved Ellensburg and had things good there, we have had it even better, and we have loved it. Well, as we're leaving the house, and now finally Ron is moving out, and I start to move, and I remember looking back one more time. There was a door frame to a closet. And when our kids were growing up, do you do this where you mark their height, you know, get the little book and you mark their height. And we had done that on the door frame of our closet in our living room. So everybody saw it. We didn't care, right? That was like the best decorating our house had, to be honest with you. Just the life of watching our kids grow. But you know, when we knew we were going to move, I thought, I can't really pull the molding off the door, right? So what I did is I went to the lumber yard and I grabbed a 6-foot long piece of wood. And I grabbed this piece of wood here, and then I got a carpenter square, and I took every one of those lines, because we had them all three marked out. And we started with, we had both Andrew and Alex and Abraham. And something we noticed over time is that we'd get up here to age 4, and that was Andrew, that was Alex, and that was Abraham. And you may not know what I'm talking about here, but in fact, put a picture up. Do you have that picture of me and my boys? Yeah, that's my boys today. Well, that was Father's Day. Okay, so Andrew's on that side, Alex on that side, Abraham's in the middle. And then you get up to 11 years old, you have Andrew, you have Alex, and you have Abraham. You get up to 15, you have Andrew, and Alex, he dropped down, and you have Abraham. Well, little did I know that my 5-year-old boy was going to turn out to be 6'4". So as you can see, I had to get another board and add on. I wasn't thinking ahead. See, I used to be 5'9", almost. Now I'm a little closer to 5'8". There's a little shrinkage taking place here. But over time, you know, there's this marking of what's gone on with our kids over the years. Now Abraham is way up here, and I just feel like, oh, you're just so tall. It's crazy. It's crazy to see him that tall. Where'd my picture go? Put it back up. So I put this picture on Facebook on Father's Day, because I got to hang out with my boys. And there was this one gal who is like, she's a friend of mine on Facebook. And she said, oh, look at that. You're the shortest of them all. Unfriend. You're gone. So, now you can take that picture off. Thanks. So, fast forward to today, 17 years later, this church, Praise Center, is a little bit over 17 years old now. And I don't really have like a measuring stick, but I do have memories. I have great memories of relationships and friendships that we have formed with so many people. Some who have moved on, some who have, you know, are starting families in other parts of the world and doing all kinds of crazy things, and some we're just getting to meet. But these are great relationships. I have great memories of people being saved and coming to faith in Christ. And that, man, can I just tell you, that's what I live for. That is the best. This is what God called me to be a pastor for, so that people would come to Jesus. I have memories of many, many times, like we did this morning, of worship and feeling the supernatural presence and power of God through our worship. I have memories of praying for sick people and literally seeing miracles happen before my eyes in people's lives, and having many testimonies of God's power. I have memories of laying hands on people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and rejoicing with them as power came upon them, like Jesus said, that you would be clothed with power from on high, and hearing them release spiritual language, as the Bible says. And I've had memories of mission trips that we've taken where we've had influence and impact in parts of the world that continues to this day. I have memories of marriages that have been healed through the power of the gospel and the good news, and just getting to the Word of God and saying, come on, let's place this at the highest place in our thinking and get things straight. The list goes on. I could go on all day about those memories, but it's remarkable for me to see what happens as family dwells together, as we come together. It's powerful. And I want us to see something profound in the first word, as I mentioned earlier, of Jesus' prayer. He looked toward heaven and prayed, Father. Now, we're used to the idea that Jesus is the Son of God, and it makes perfect sense that he would refer to the first person of the Trinity as Father. But think about the fact that of all the relationships that Jesus could have mentioned and used to describe God, I mean, God could have come up, he could have revealed himself as the CEO of the universe, and I guess Jesus would be the COO, right? You see, it could have been like that. That could have been the relationship, and he could have prayed to the CEO. Or he could have revealed himself as the supreme emperor of all things, and Jesus as the governor of the realm, or something. You know what I'm saying? These are stupid descriptions, forgive me. But I'm just saying, think about the fact that it's Father. that he said Father. Then we need to consider the fact that this is where it gets incredible, that we've been invited into that kind of relationship with God. That Jesus is inviting us to be a part of that family where God is our Father. Now, we're all children of God. This is what the Bible teaches if we've come to Christ. And Adam was called the son of God with a small s. But we find out that we are all sons and daughters of God. We're all his children. And this is profound. We are both born into his kingdom. That's what it means when it says born again. But this is so great. Ephesians tells us that we were also adopted into his family. You see, in my own story, I was born into a family not because my parents wanted me. I was an accident. I know that to be true. All right? My mom was having an affair with a married man, and so it was not intended. But there I came. So being born by itself, being born again, we might say, well, what choice does God have? But can I tell you, it isn't like that with God. And just to make sure we don't think that, he also adopted us. That's a choice, isn't it? It's always a choice. And so we're born into the kingdom, we're born again, and we're also adopted as sons and daughters. And it gets so much more profound than that as we think about it. That when we believe in Jesus Christ, we become brothers and sisters of Christ. It's amazing. At that moment, the Heavenly Father includes us as his own sons and daughters. And as incredible as it seems, this is just mind-blowing to me, because I'd be happy just to be a servant in the house of the Lord, if you catch what I'm saying. But he makes us, it makes me a son. He makes us sons and daughters. And the mind-blowing part is that he also, the inheritance that Jesus gets as the son of the Father, we share completely in that inheritance. The Bible calls us co-heirs, heirs with Christ. We get the same inheritance that Christ got. Come on, isn't that amazing? That's profound. It's amazing. Now, as difficult as this world is getting around us in the animosity and the troubles and the terror and all that stuff out there, but don't you know that the idea of family is etched into every heart and every soul? It really is. It really is. Did you ever think about your earliest memory? How many can kind of remember? Yeah, I remember the very first thing I remember is this. It might be a good thing. It might be a weird thing. But everybody's got a memory, right? For me, it was when I was 3.5 years old. My brother, it was late December of 1961. And it's a bit foggy, but I remember what happened that day was my father, again, who was a married man, but having an affair with my mom, he came to pick me up from somebody I was staying with. I don't remember who that was, but it was a weird thing for me to go anywhere with my father, because that just never happened. But he picked me up. I got in the car with him, and we drove off, and pretty soon we ended up at a big building, and I assume it now, as I think back, it must have been a hospital. And, you know, in those days, this is December, I had a coat on. He said, stay in the car. Okay, you know, I was like 3.5 years old, but things were different back then, I guess. So anyway, he left me in the car. He went on into the hospital, and then it wasn't too awfully long. He came out with my mom, and she was carrying this little bundle. It was my baby brother. He had just been born in the hospital. He was born on December 28th, a cold, wintry day. But I remember her coming and sitting in the front seat. There were no seat belts in those days. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sitting in the back, and I'm leaning up over the chair to see this thing. And mom just holding him in her hand. There's no child seat. She opens up the blanket and says, this is your baby brother. And I just like, that's my first memory. That's the thing. And I met Tony for the first time. And we drove back to the apartment that we lived at, and then I remember that my father just drove off. He just drove off. And, you know, there's even as a child, there's something like, that doesn't feel quite right, does it? That doesn't feel right. And looking back, I can just imagine how my mom must have felt. It must have been a bittersweet moment for her, because she had the joy of this new baby mixed with the anguish of the father of the child driving off to be with his family. Now, they had already had a child before me, plus another child that my mom had had before that, who was from another man. So now I have a sister and a half-sister and a full brother now. But by the time I was born, they were both put up for adoption. Somebody wanted them, praise the Lord. So now I have this half-sister that had a different father. It's like the boy who went to school and his teacher asked him, "What's your father's occupation?" And the little boy said, "Well, he's a magician." "Well, that's interesting. What's his favorite trick?" "Oh, he does, you know, he likes to saw people in half." "Wow, that's crazy. That's amazing. Well, let me ask you the next question. Do you have any brothers or sisters?" "I have one half brother and two half sisters." "But I really do have two half brothers and two half sisters from different dads, and it's just a mess, right? It's just a mess. I didn't grow up with a full brother who was out of, you know, was adopted, but I did grow up with only one little brother, and that was Tony that day. Now, I can process all this as an adult. I can work through it all, and, the strange thing is growing up, to be honest with you, I really didn't know any different. I don't think kids really kind of get it when their household isn't right. And I didn't know that what I was experiencing was abnormal or weird. But it was. It really was. Listen to me. It's not God's plan that children grow up without their parents. It just isn't. But many do, don't they? Without one or the other, or sometimes both. And there's all kinds of reasons. Sometimes it has nothing to do with the parents' will, and sometimes it does. But I'm just saying that it's not the way God wanted it to be. And I know many of you have faced similar things in your life. You face things where you go, "Man, you know, I didn't have the great upbringing." Listen, I understand. I've been there. But I also stand here to testify that God can do amazing things in a family. God can change a family. He can do amazing things when we start to surrender to his love, when we start to understand that he loves us. And that was the difference maker for me. At the age of 15, I was invited to be part of God's family, and I went from not having a dad to having the best dad ever. Oh, my Heavenly Father, he loves me, he cares for me, he is so amazing, and he can make the same difference in any life, anywhere, anytime. He can do that. In Ephesians, Paul writes this on the screen there, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." There's love today for everyone. And John, who also wrote the gospel, but writes in his epistle later on in 1 John 3:1, says, look at this, "See what great love the Father has lavished." Oh, I love that word. Come on. He just pours it. I mean, it's like more than you can imagine. He's lavished love on us that we should be called the children of God. And that's what we are. It's wide. It's deep. It's high. It's long. And it's lavished on us by the Father. Wow. Come on. That's exciting. I remember back in the early 90s, I was doing youth work at the church I was the associate pastor at when we lived in Ellensburg. And I would go to the high school to visit the high school students there. And I met a young man who was a junior, and I began to ask him about his life, just innocent questions. And as we continued, he began to tell me that he was growing up with a single mom and a brother. And I thought, wow, this is weird. It's just like my story. And so I was trying to kind of reach out to him, minister. He told me that his dad had left when he was younger. And I began to tell him how sorry I was that that had happened. And I was trying to explain what I just explained to you, that wasn't what God wanted for his life. And he kind of looked at me, and honestly, it's like he kind of glazed over. And this 17-year-old boy looks at me, and he said, "It doesn't bother me at all. It's no problem." And I thought, man, you know, I understand it, why that came out of his mouth, and I understand feeling that way myself at the time, but at the base, I began to understand it for what it was. It was just pride. It was just pride that says, "I don't need anybody else," but that's not true. We do need others. And if we admit to the gaps and the missing pieces of our lives, we think somehow that makes us less than, but it doesn't. It gives God a chance to fill them in. It reminds me of the new patient who went to see the psychiatrist, and when he was getting settled on the couch, the psychiatrist began the therapy session. He said, I'm not aware of your problem. What is it? And the doctor, he said, "Perhaps you should start at the very beginning." Patient replied, "Of course. In the beginning, I created the heavens and the earth." Pride gets in our way, doesn't it? It won't let us deal with our problems. We think, "I don't need help. I don't need anybody. I don't need God. I don't need the family of God." Let me tell you something, you do too. I know you do. And if we can get past that wall of pride, because we use pride as a crutch to pretend we're sufficient in ourselves, but we're not. We try to mask the pain of broken families and relationships. We try to hide behind a wall that says, I don't need anyone. I don't need anything. But the truth is, we're all made with an innate yearning to belong to our Creator and to be surrounded by His family. We need to process any barriers that are keeping us in a place where we resist the love of God and the friendship of God and the family of God. It's time to surrender to love. Surrender to love. Surrender to the love of God and surrender to the love of the people of God. Three times in our text today, verses 21, 22, and 23, Jesus prayed that we would be in unity. I've highlighted those for you. Do you see those there? That all of them may be one, that they also be in us. And we know that God is one. That they may be one as we are one. And then in verse 23, may they be brought to complete unity. The family of God is so profound. I love the family of God. And I know it's easy for us, and maybe you've had experiences where you've had bad experiences in the church. Where you've had somebody who said they were a Christian, they did you wrong. Listen, I get all that. I know the church has blown it. I know that individual believers have blown it. And like any family, to be honest, we're all a bit quirky. We're just, we have issues. We admit it. We do. But like the devil, but the devil does this. Like most of the news we hear in America today, he thrives. This is what the devil will do. He does just like the news media does today. He thrives on making us think about and capitalize on and focus on the bad things. Isn't that what all the, don't you get tired of it? It's all bad. It's all, this is happening. This is wrong. This is broken. This person hates this person. These people are doing this and they're not doing that or whatever. And it's all this bad news. And it's like, it can kind of overwhelm you. But the devil likes to, see, that's, the devil wants to do the same thing in people's lives by making them think that the church is bad, that the family of God is bad. But the good that's in the baby that is going on is overwhelmingly greater than the occasional bathwater that we need to throw out. Does that make sense? You know? There's always bathwater, but you got a baby, and they're just awesome, right? So one of the greatest strengths America was born in was the word that's at the beginning of our nation called united. And that's what has made America great, if I may say so. That wasn't political, by the way. I believe our country is great. I just want to make sure you understand what I'm trying to say. It's like you use a phrase, and all of a sudden, because there's so much baggage on it, I just realize, somebody thinks I'm waving some flag. I'm not doing that. I'm just talking about my country. I love America. And the thing that did make us great years ago was we really were, for the most part, united. But I'm going to be honest with you, we're not so united anymore, are we? Do you see the great divide, and it's getting more and more polarized? You say, what could we ever do? I'll tell you what we could do. The church could come alive. The people of God could show the unity of Christ in us. We can begin to think, come on, like we can show love for each other in spite of our shortcomings and failures, and we can show as an example to the world around us, look, this is how you do it. Watch the church. And not just this local church, but I don't know if you're a Facebook fan, if you follow me on Facebook, but Pastor Jerry Beebe, I got to give him a shout out right now. I love that man. He's a man of God. He's the pastor of Wenatchee First Assembly. He wrote a Facebook post. He copied the slide that we had up there, family party that we're having today. He copied that to his Facebook, and then he said, listen, if you don't have a home church, you can come to Wenatchee First Assembly, but if you don't go there, you should go try my friend's church, Pray Center. I mean, how many pastors do that? And I was, oh, thank you, Jerry. That's awesome, right? Listen, the more the church does this, the more the church works together, the more we will show what it means to be united to the world. We can fix what's wrong in this world. We are the only hope this country actually has. It's God's people. He says, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, I'll heal their land. Listen, don't think it's going to happen through legislation or political process. It's going to happen as the people of God come together and pray and draw near to God. That's what's going to happen. We can fix our nation. And all that unity and all that fun and all you being here today, this makes us think of family today. We're so glad you're here. Church family is a home. It's like a home. Welcome home, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. Worship team, come on back up. I want to just, you know, as I hit, I kind of bounced around on that subject of family life and how it was growing up, you know, what kind of family did you have growing up? If you had the, what we'll call the normal family, the father and mother and siblings, and you, for the most part, things went well for you and you had a good upbringing, praise the Lord, you're a step up. But I just want to warn you too, the Heavenly Father's love and His way of, man, is so much higher like than the best dad there ever was. Jesus Himself said that, didn't He? He didn't say dads were evil, but he said, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, talking to fathers, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? See, I'm not an evil dad. I did a fairly decent job of raising my boys. They love me. They love the Lord. I'm really happy with how they've turned out. But listen, my very best efforts are evil compared to God, how much He loves you and how much He wants your life to be wonderful. And how, you know, but and none of us are perfect in this room. And whatever hurt you may have experienced, but I got to tell you, belonging to a family is amazing. Amazing. And there may be nothing I can do to help you other than maybe we could talk through the Word of God, but I can't fix the past. I can't go back and change what you did or didn't have. I can't change even your current condition right now. If I could, I would. But, you know, but I want you to know that there's a family right here who will stand with you, who will care for you, who will love you, and walk together through life with you. So surrender to love today. Surrender to love. Surrender to the love of the Father. Surrender to the love of a church family. We're 17 years old as a church. And we've been growing over the years in different ways. Like Jesus, who grew in both wisdom and stature, this church has grown in number and it has grown in spiritual growth over the years. And we're adding to the stick of Praise Center today, right? We just got to this place and we just said, you know, it's time. It's time to add on. We did some remodeling this week, and if this is your first Sunday, you wouldn't know that, but things are different. Some of you are looking at the screen and thinking, something's different. What is it? Well, it's like two and a half times the size it used to be, and it's HD, and it's really bright. But listen, we're not trying to impress anybody. The heart was like this. It was like what Rhonda and I had when we fixed up the nursery. Catch what I'm saying? We just wanted to do our very best. We wanted this place to look good, not because we think paint on the walls or big screens or any of that, you know, but we just wanted to do our best. We wanted to put our best foot forward for anybody that would come today. And just as we welcomed that new baby into that room and laid him in his crib, we just welcome all new life here today. Anybody that's here, we welcome you in Jesus' name. We are adding to our measuring stick. We are making room in our hearts. We are opening up to what God wants to do. And I have a prophetic word from the Lord. He says, it's time. It's time. Speaking of prophetic words, will you come on up? I need a mic. As we were praying for people today, Chris felt like she had a word from the Lord. I asked her if she would just share it this morning. We believe that God speaks through people, and she's just going to give what the Lord gave her and just let God speak to your heart this morning. Go ahead. Praise God. Thank you so much. Listen, I think there's two things the Lord wants to say. That first of all, the thing you've been asking God for, He's ready to smash some stuff, and it's time for you. The thing you've been holding on to God for, it's time for breakthrough in your life. That wall is not going to. But He also, I believe, is speaking to us as a church that there's been maybe a season where we felt a little held back, a little bit of stagnancy. But God is just pressing us. He's saying, it's time. Breakthrough. I'm breaking through the walls. I'm bursting down the walls. Those things that have divided us are going to fall in Jesus' name. You might ask, what compels a young family 17 years ago to leave the home, the only home they've known with their kids, to move to a community where they really didn't know anybody? I'll tell you the truth. It's pretty simple. We just surrendered to love. We surrendered to love we didn't even know we had for you. for God, but we just surrender to what God said. And we just thank God for that. Here's what I want to encourage us all to do. As we read that prayer earlier, I would just like to say, can we just be the answer to Jesus' prayer? Right? That we become family, that we become united, that we understand the joy that He has for us, knowing He's ready to protect us, knowing He's ready to watch over us. Let's be the answer to Jesus' prayer.
Thank you for listening to Praise Center's Sermon of the Week. Don't forget, for more information, visit PrayCenterOnline.com.